We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The Creative Entrepreneurs Making and Selling Physical Goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. Today on the show, I have Purna Malik, a certified conversion copywriter who has mastered the recipe for writing copy that balances persuasion and personality with the scientific precision of conversion science to ensure that you are maximizing sales. On today's episode, we are talking about copywriting mistakes, what to look for when you're hiring a copywriter, and how to measure whether your copy is working for you. So get out a notebook and a pen for this one because Purna shares some really important tips and strategies. Also, a quick note before we jump in, Purna will be one of my guest experts in our new Proof to Product Labs program this summer. She's going to be sharing an in-depth training on how to strengthen your product descriptions and how to write better copy. If this is something you'd like to attend, head to proofToProduct.com/labs and sign up to be one of our founding members. Hi, Purna. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Katie. I have been so excited about this and I cannot wait to chat with you.
I am thrilled to have you here because copywriting is an area that so many people trip up on in their business or they neglect it altogether. So let's start with one quick question and then we'll get into your history. What piece of content is the most important for a website?
Okay, so since your audience is essentially like product-based businesses, I would say it would be their product descriptions.
I agree. So how did you get into conversion copywriting? Were you always a writer? What were you doing before you were doing this?
So I was always a writer in my online life. In my corporate professional life, I was a communication skills trainer, which again has to do with words, but spoken, not written so much. But when I started online, I started as a blogger and then got hired by smaller businesses. So graduated to being a business blogger and social media manager, which was how we started our full-time business. My husband and I, we've been business together. We've been doing this now about 10 years. And then conversion copywriting happened when I came across Copy Hackers. Joanna Weeb is the OG when it comes. She's the one who coined the term conversion copywriting. So that was my introduction to conversion copywriting. I worked with Joanna closely, studied like with her and in her mastermind, and am one of the handful of copywriters that she's actually certified as a conversion copywriter. I think she's certified about 12 of us total. So that's my journey into conversion copywriting in a nutshell. And the reason I'm like super passionate, excited about it is because it's measurable, tangible, and at the same time, it does not have to be dry and boring. It can be fun and engaging and filled with as much personality as you would want it to be. Yeah.
Totally. So for my audience that doesn't know what a conversion copywriter specifically is, can you define what that is?
So a conversion copywriter would essentially use data science and conversion metrics to, not just structure your copy, but also their. So in my case, for example, there's a very defined process that I follow to actually start writing your copy. It's not like you fill out a questionnaire, we get on a call and there I am writing up, words that look pretty for you. But every word that goes on a page has to have a reason behind it. You need to know why is it there. And that is where your process comes in. That is where the research that lays the groundwork. Like copywriting essentially is like 80% research or maybe even 90% research in certain cases and 10% writing,
right?
Especially conversion copywriting. What I do is basically bring both creative copywriting, which is, the Don Draper style, the fun and the, all the interesting stuff that you see going on, and then blend it with conversion science. So you get a mix of both the worlds. I mean, you could take a look at my website and you would know exactly what I mean because it's light, it's fun. And at the same time, there's a reason why you would see a certain call to action. There's like a lot I can, if you would ask me, so why is this on the page? I would be able to give you a logical reason for it and not just because it sounds good, or, you know, I think it should be there. And also with conversion copywriting, you want to be involved in, at least when it comes to me, I want to be involved in measuring the results of that copy. I want to keep working with my clients to see, okay, so what's going on? How is our audience responding to it? Has it resulted in an increase in, like, has it helped you accomplish the goals that we set out to accomplish? So we always start out with in science, you start out with a hypothesis and then you create the copy to support that hypothesis. Then you go ahead in your lab and test it out, which is like the real world. Right. But then you also need to, you know, work on seeing, you know, okay, so if this didn't land, then you go back to the drawing board, you revisit your hypotheses and you, you know, work from there.
I love hearing you talk about this because I think so many people, especially in my product-based world, they don't think about the intention behind the words they're using on their website, whether it's their about page, whether it's their product descriptions, whether it's, you know, their emails they're sending, whatever it is. I think they look at it more as just, I need to write descriptions. So here's like the details of the product, you know, yep, rather than how could I write this in a way that really emulates how this product will make somebody feel or how, why they need to buy it without feeling salesy. And there really is a science to this. There is a, yes, psychology that goes into,
absolutely,
not just the words, but even probably the placement on a website, like where on the page it is and all these different things. And so copy is so important. And I'm just glad to have you here to articulate why that is, because I think it is something that a lot of people overlook on their sites, especially in my product world, because they're so worried about the creative and the building of the product itself. When it comes, yeah, to taking it to market, they fall short a little bit. And not everybody. I don't mean to generalize everybody, but it is a pain for the community.
Right. That's absolutely true. Especially I think with product-based businesses, where so much depends on, of course, the actual physical product itself. And, you know, there's so much that goes into the making of it. And then there's, of course, the photos that go with it. So you want lifestyle shots and you want like product shots, and you pay so much attention to it that sometimes then copy comes second. Whereas it actually, you should be starting with that, because like that's what your customer at the end of the day is going to read, whether it's, you know, when they land from your Facebook ad to a product page, is the message matching, right? You know, when they land from your, like, say from a social media update or from a podcast interview that you may have done or a media blast that you got, and they land on the Google view and they come to your homepage, you know, is it like what they thought it would be, or is it, or does it leave them wondering where have I landed? So, right, you're putting in all this effort, and then if your copy is falling short, you could fix all the images you want. And I'm not saying images are not important, but they are, especially for product-based businesses. You want to see a product from all the different possible angles, but you also don't want to leave your customers confused, because a confused prospect is never going to buy.
They don't buy. Convert. Yep. Right. It never converts to a sale. Okay. So what kind of writing projects do you personally do for product-based business owners and those with e-commerce shops?
Oh my gosh. A lot of them. We've worked with clients on evergreen funnels for their products. So starting from like their, you know, guiding people who sign up for their opt-in, then leading them to a product sale. Also segmenting sequences, segment specific sequences. So you're looking, targeting customers in specific buckets and then doing that. Product descriptions. I've done so many product descriptions. In fact, I wrote an article on Forbes all about product descriptions, because I'd done so many of those and I'd seen so many fall short that I clearly had to talk about it. So I could like share the link. You could put it in the notes.
We would love
just
that.
Who want to check it out. So product descriptions, just obviously evergreen product sales sequences, segment specific sequences, retargeting sequences like cart abandonment, sequences, bringing them back. Also customer loyalty and retention sequences. So for one of our e-commerce clients who's got a product that caters to new moms and their babies and toddlers, one of the things what we did was, you know, like she had a lot of loyal customers. So we really want, and the ease that this is another thing, the easiest customer to sell to is an existing customer.
Yes.
So, you know, so we worked with her to strategize and create like a full blown promotion plan and email sequence to, you know, go ahead and lead in on them and continue selling to them while giving them, like making them feel valued and special, because you really want to do that as well. They're people who are like buying from you all the time. So you just want to show them that you really value them. But at the same time, you also want to make sure that you're not treating them with, you know, like mass blasts that go out to like everybody.
Right. Yeah. The whole segmenting of an email list, for example, or who your customers are, is a really important thing that we started doing several years ago, but in more detail more recently, just in terms of how we're speaking to them. And you guys listening, it is so powerful. People that know you and love you and are already buying your product, you should be speaking to them as if you're a friend of theirs and they're a friend of yours. And for people that are new, you still want to welcome them with open arms, but like the information they need to place an order with you is different than what somebody who's already a current customer needs to hear from you. And that's what you're talking about, Perna, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Personalization of copy is not just about like putting your subscriber's name in the subject line or right. in the email. It goes way beyond that. And now, you know, like we've got customers who are like obviously very internet savvy, especially now when like online shopping is pretty much what everybody's doing while at home. You know, people know how automations work. People know all of these things. So the more you can go like an extra mile when it comes to your copy, whether it's on your website, whether it's on your in your email communication, the easier it is for people to relate to you and really understand you and really support you as a brand and as a business that they're proud to shop with.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. You know, what assets or detail, let me back up. Let's talk about hiring a copywriter. How does somebody know if a certain copywriter is a good fit for their brand voice? And then I have a couple other questions for you.
Sure. So a couple of things. You always want to, you know, ask about a copywriter's process and see, you know, what's the process that they follow, both, you know, prior to working with you, during working with you, and also after working with you, like what kind of support do you get after, you know, you've wrapped up working with them. You also want to know, of course, you know, what work have they done in the past? Is there anything similar? It doesn't have to be the same. There are like, I'm fashionably niche-less, so I've written for copy, like in niches from online programs, launch copy for online programs to, like I said, you know, product-based copy for kids products, health products, and a whole, you know, a whole lot of other e-commerce stores. So you just need to know that they would be able to, you know, they understand where you're coming from. The other thing you also want to see, especially like if someone's like extremely value-based, like in my case, I'm very particular and specific that I will not work with a business that would require me to swear in my copy. I don't swear in my life. That's my personal thing. I mean, you could do that. That's cool with you. That's great for you. It's not me. So that's like, I'm very, you know, clear about that on my Work With Me page or About Us page. It's there. And I, if there's a business that approaches me and asks me, you know, sometimes clients say, oh, that's okay, I'll just go ahead and insert it later. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
We're not the right fit. So you also want to look at, is it a value match? Looking at copywriter samples would obviously, you know, and the prior work they've done would give you an idea of their style. But most importantly, it all boils down to process. Good copywriters would be able to, you know, don't generally have a templated style. They would create the style based on, like, for instance, when it comes to product descriptions, when I work with a business, I want to know, what are your brand values? What is it that customers appreciate about you as a business? What is it that they say that they love about you? What are some of the things that your customers really don't like? And then I also go ahead and validate this information by talking to their customers. Mm. So I really need to know that. And then I can create, you know, like a guideline or messaging guidelines around how that copy should sound. So regardless of what my brand voice would be, except for, you know, the thing about swearing, right, or the fact that you shouldn't have a product that's going to, you know, hurt, harm, or is, you know, not good for kids or grownups alike. So aside from them, those guidelines, you know, if it's a business, like say, for example, you make handmade soaps, you know, and I would need to know what your business is all about. I would need to know what your audience is all about, and then say, okay, so your product descriptions need to have a voice that's maybe, simply, let's say, for example, it needs to be fun and upbeat and casual because your audience is, you know, is in the 25 to 35 or 25 to 45 range. And, you know, they really like the fresh, natural feel of your soaps. So your descriptions or your homepage copy or your even things like your opt-in, you know, text like captions and all of those things need to have that same vibe flowing through it. Then you want to go a step further, ensure that your email copy is the same as well. Because if your email copy is disconnected from your website copy, people will be wondering, like, they're like, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. You know, you don't want that happening because you're not one person here and one person there. You want to be the same person everywhere.
I'm sitting here nodding my head, yes, 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 because I agree with everything you said. I think finding somebody that can understand your brand voice, but I think that's like the lesser part of this whole process, because I've worked with a variety of copywriters in the past, and some people totally understand my company. They totally understand my audience. They completely understand my voice. And I can tell they've done extra legwork too to truly understand and hear who I am. Other copywriters have relied on me fully to provide them with assets and descriptions of who I'm talking to. And I do provide that to anyone I work with.
Yeah.
But I guess that's my next question. What assets and details should people have ready or should they have thought through before they hire a copywriter?
Okay, great, great question. So you obviously need to know, you know, you need to know your business inside out. You need to know, you know, why did you start this and who is this for? So of course, the, you know, the usual, your client avatars, your business values, your story, you know, what makes you you, what are some of the fun things you do, what is it that, you know, you stand for? Why is it that you need to support this, you know, the segment of people with the product that you're creating? What you also want to think about, you know, what sets you apart from everybody else in this particular niche or segment. And then, of course, there's the deeper stuff. You want to know, you know, how do you see your product making an impact on your audience? You want to think about, so there, these are like really like deep questions you want to get into. You need to have information about those. A good copywriter will obviously work with you via like kickoff calls and copy discovery calls to kind of, you know, excavate this information and kind of encourage you to think, prompt you, and like, you know, kind of give you and help you kind of bring all of it out. But basically you need to have fundamental data about your business. From a copy perspective, if you've been in business, and this is like not like a from scratch, I've never had a website before kind of a situation that we're looking at, then you do need to know, like, how's your copy performing? Mm-hmm. You do need to know, what are people clicking on? You know, what products are people buying? What people not buying? If you, then that's like basic data. If you don't have things like more advanced things like heat maps set up on your website and all of those things, then you do need to know, you know, like, so these are some of our most popular emails. This is what people have been clicking and opening. So mm-hmm. just for like a copywriter to get an understanding of where people are coming from and what's resonating with them. So that's from a copy perspective. You would know, you know, like, say, how's your checkout page performing? Mm-hmm. Are people completing transactions or are more people leaving, you know, items in their cart? Do you have, you know, cart abandonment sequences in place? And if so, how are those performing? So you need to have like basic stats and all of those data. If you've done surveys, that would be great again, because it gives you good information, especially well-structured surveys, because not all surveys are created equal. So you need to know, like,
that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Sorry to
interrupt. No, that's okay. So you need to know, like, you need to know your business and you need to know the people for whom you've built this business. Mm-hmm. And you need to know what really connects with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then from a more tactical standpoint too, like, you know, if you were to do an email sequence for somebody, are they typically coming in and saying, hey, I need 10 emails? Or are they coming to you and saying, I need an email sequence? And you're saying, okay, I would recommend it be 7 emails and these are the focus of each. Like, is it a collaborative process in that respect? Or are you advising people? Are they coming in and telling you exactly what they need? What's your standpoint there?
So every email sequence needs to have a marketing goal, right? And our goal is to see like how many emails would it take for us to accomplish that goal? Like what would be the purpose of each email?
Right.
You just don't want to send out emails because it's like, because everybody says you need to have a 7-email welcome sequence. Why? Mm-hmm. Does your audience need 7 emails? Like, what are we trying to tell them? What are we trying to get them to do? So do we need 7? Maybe we need 17. I don't know. We would need to work together. So it has to be like with me, at least, you know, I would want to know what is it that we're accomplishing with this particular sequence. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to like, and that's why I need to speak to your audience as well. So even if you're a new business, I would want to know who's your like client profile and then go and talk to those people and see. Yeah. So when you're buying something, you know, what are some of the things you need to hear before you make a decision? And then you use, you know, that's like just one example, but you need to make an informed decision about the number of emails and even things like the length of emails.
Yeah.
So, you know, that will vary as well. So all of these, and your copywriter, and that's why I feel like as a conversion copywriter, I need to be involved in the process right from the get-go. And I'm not an order taker. That's as simple as that. Like if you're looking for someone who's like, you know, if you're looking for someone who's okay, write 10 emails for us. I need to know like, but why? What are we trying to solve? Yeah. What are we trying to solve here with those 10 emails? And what makes you think that 10 emails is going to do the job?
Yeah.
If you can give me,
you answered that question beautifully, because I do think there's a misconception with people I've talked to and people I've advised that like, I need seven emails for my welcome sequence, or I need this number, you know, and they get fixated a little bit on what that looks like. And so when they do approach somebody to help with copy, yes, anyone can find anyone to write, you know, 7 emails or 10 emails or whatever it might be. But like the goal, what is the purpose here? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to, what's the call to action that we're trying to help them take?
Exactly.
With this.
Exactly.
So, you know, are we trying to get to know them? Are we trying to get them to purchase? I mean, obviously the goal is always purchase, but you know, what are some other mistakes that you see product-based business owners making with regards to their copy?
One of the big ones is like falling into the template trap. So if you're in, say, again, like the handmade product thing or like jewelry, you know, or even clothing, it's very easy to go down like, okay, so everything needs to be, or kids' toys for that matter, you know, everything needs to have like certain things. So what material, you know, where is it manufactured, in, you know, which age group is it for, and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, again, that's the reason why I say it's so important to know who your business is, because as small businesses, whether product or service, like, and since we're talking to a product-based business, more so, customers buy from us because they relate to us as a brand.
Yeah.
You know, they relate to your story. They relate to you, the maker behind the product. And it's so important for that to shine through. So don't fall into the, like the template trap when it comes to things like product descriptions. Mm-hmm. Lean on your story, lean on your values. Like for small businesses, values are not like, you know, buzzwords that are just put on a plaque and forgotten about. Values are what you live like literally every day. Values are pretty much what drove you to create your product in the first place. It was something that you felt strongly about, which is why you started this business, you know, or there was something that you were so insanely great at. So that you started this business, and that's what makes you you. So why hide that when you're coming up with product descriptions? That's mistake number one. Mistake number two is not having a goal in place, for a measurable goal in place for the copy that they're putting on the page, whether it's their homepage, whether it's their about us page, whether it's their, obviously their product page, or not knowing what is it, like people don't know when they go to that page, what is it that they're actually supposed to do. And you don't have a goal in place, so you don't really know how your whole page is performing. The goal could be as simple as like get people to sign up to your list. So you could then probably, you know, turn them into a buyer. Or it could be, you know, to use a coupon code to make their first purchase. But you need to have a goal in place. And if like, if it's a pretty page that looks great, but doesn't have people doing something that you can measure and optimize.
Yeah.
That just hurts me a lot. So well, that's valuable real estate, right?
It is. It's valuable real estate. And I guess it just, I want to reiterate that it goes back to the intentionality of everything that we're putting online. The copy is important. The imagery is important. The story and the messaging, all of it's important. Yeah. And the placement of it too, of where it is. You know, we've talked about metrics a little bit. You've expressed how important it is to measure whether a copy, whether the copy is producing the results you want. You did mention heat maps. Are there any other tools or things that people should be paying attention to, or ways that they should be leveraging metrics or measuring those metrics?
Sure. So of course, heat maps and, you know, user recordings of how people are interacting with your page. Those are really great. Crazy Egg helps you do a lot of that. You could also, for emails, especially split test your subject lines. Mm-hmm. Always test one thing. Like when you're testing, don't go crazy and want to change everything and like an option, like just test one thing. So if you like for emails, you could split test your subject lines. You could split test your calls to action. You could split test length of the subject line. You could split test length of the email itself. So you, for one segment, you could send out like a really short email, and then another segment send out a longer version of the same email. Of course, like with relevant copy, and then see how both perform, but then keep everything else the same. So you always want to be testing like one element at a time to give you like most accurate data that you could like usable data. Then of course, there are things like the usual e-commerce stats. You want to check, you know, like what checkout rates, your cart abandonment, you know, all of those conversion rate, conversion metrics that kind of give you product performance, like how is which product selling, which product's not selling, which product's being, you know, waitlisted or, you know, added to the favorites. So all of those, that data, you want to look at that. And then you want to use that data as well. Calls to action on your homepage is another thing you want to look at. Like, are people actually clicking the sign up button? If not, then chances are they're probably either not seeing it or they're not understanding it. One of the two things. So you, if people are not signing up, so, or if people are not using your coupon code, like the, whatever you're giving them when they're signing up. So all of those things, you
that's hugely helpful, but I agree with your start with one piece and do one at a time. Cause I feel like
it's so easy to go all crazy and say, okay, I'm going to be testing and changing everything. And then you don't know what's really working.
Right.
So,
And at what point too do you just kind of leave it alone to see? Because you need to give it a little bit of time to run these tests. And so I don't know. I do think one downfall we have as creative entrepreneurs is that we like to change things up and we want it. But if it's working, let it roll for a bit. If it's not working, then you want to start testing and see where you can make tweaks to improve.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you've got like an email sequence running like 30, 60 days, 60 days, don't touch it at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like let it run, let it... and 60 days also like keeping in mind the amount of traffic that you're getting. Like if you're getting like a lot of traffic and it's engaged and, you know, people are signing up and moving fast through the sequence, then it makes sense. But if you're only getting like a trickle of traffic, then you may want to wait longer till you have like a significant data, you know, pool to kind of evaluate from.
That's such a great point. And it just goes back to what you were saying earlier of every business is different, what everyone needs in terms of the number of emails, the type of copy, the psychology behind what you're writing, you know, all of it's going to be different from one company to the next.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel that's like such a, you know, it can be such a differentiating factor in how you do business as well. You could, you know, there could be two businesses selling the exact same product, like in terms of handcrafted jewelry or bracelets or, you know,
right.
And you could still be so different in how you approach your emails, how you engage with your customers on social, how you, you know, like every bit of copy could just help you stand out from everybody else around you.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I am really enjoying this conversation. My mind is spinning with ideas for things that I think my mastermind clients should be doing. And so I would love to have you come back and talk to our community at some point soon.
Absolutely.
So what's next for you in Content Bistro? What are you working on? Where can people find you online?
Yeah, sure. So we're working on a couple of very exciting things. One of them is, of course, going to be a program called Ready to Sell. That's going to be all about evergreen copy for entrepreneurs. And we may be having a very significant product side as well to that. The other thing that we're very excited about is working closely one-on-one with entrepreneurs to help them keep up momentum in their business. We're currently with our first group in moment. It's called Momentum Mise en Place, and we'll be opening that up again in early May, where we work one-on-one with business owners, with established business owners who really want to keep taking action, who are like kind of done with taking courses, but they want to work one-on-one to just move forward in their business and take action and like the needle moving. Yeah.
So is that's not like a one-off project. It's more of you'll help with overhauling content throughout the whole business on an ongoing basis. Like,
Yeah. It is. We work over a period of three. It's like a 90-day thing.
Okay.
That we do at 12 weeks. Yeah.
Very nice. That sounds great.
So yeah, those are a couple of things that we're working on that we're kind of excited about and looking forward to, and that would be helpful for your audience. Otherwise, like, our website is like the best place for people to reach out to us and chat with us about copy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Aparna. Well, before we go, tell everybody where they can find you on your website and on your social media feed. We'll include all of the notes you shared and the links in our show notes as well.
Sure. Thank you so much. So our website is contentbistro.com, and I would love to connect with you either on Instagram or Facebook, both places, Content Bistro. And of course, we have a lovely Facebook group for entrepreneurs as well. So if Facebook groups are your jam, then our group is The Biz Bistro. And we'd love to see you there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me here, Katie. This was fun.
I enjoyed it as well.
Copywriting is such an important piece of our online business. So many of us create these wonderful, beautiful products. We take amazing photos, and then we write the simplest of product descriptions that do not push people to buy. Copy is an underutilized tool for a lot of e-commerce businesses, and it is an area that Aparna truly thrives in. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and if you'd like more help from Aparna, check out her resources in the show notes. She will also be joining me in Proof to Product Labs this summer to talk about crafting product descriptions that convert to sales. So if you are not yet a member of Proof to Product Labs, you can sign up at prooftoproduct.com/labs and join me for a year of group coaching and community. Specifically for product-based business owners.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.